John Blake presents Upstairs and Downstairs, written by Hilda Newman with Tim Tate, narrated by Helen Lloyd. Introduction. The gateway loomed before me, beautiful and soft-seeming in the summer sunlight, but solid and strong, and from where I sat in the front seat of the little blue van, forbiddingly tall. I glanced at the older man in the driver's seat. He smiled reassuringly, but I felt the butterflies growing more frantic in my stomach. We had been driving for what seemed like an age. From Worcester Railway Station, we quickly left the town behind, following small and empty country lanes as they wound past fields and dense woodland. I had no idea what direction we were going in. North? South? I couldn't have told you, much less exactly where we were going to end up. We seemed to be travelling mile after mile, ever deeper into the very heart of England. For a young town girl like me, the endless rolling landscape felt alien and somehow frightening. I'd never seen so many fields, so much open country. I pushed myself down lower into the van seat, thinking of the cosy little cottage I'd left behind me, of my little sister and brother, and of the mum and dad I'd left for the very first time, so many hours before. Had I ever even sat in a motor car before? Certainly not alone with a man, and an older man to boot. I'd never been so far away from home, or felt so alone and isolated. With a start, the van slipped under the imposing stone arch and slowly picked up speed along a narrow and winding driveway. Huge swathes of open parkland slipped past, with a wide and sluggish watercourse running through it. Did these people have their own private river? In the distance, I saw stone buildings, some of them looking like the ancient Greek temples I'd seen in school books, scattered randomly across the never-ending acres of the estate. The driveway seemed to go on forever. And then, as we rounded the last bend, I saw it. A huge stone mansion in the middle of the park, bathed in the soft afternoon light. It had two impossibly tall wings on either side of a central entrance, flanked by round pillars, each at least 20 feet tall. A third massive section, almost as big as the others, and clearly a separate courtyard with stables, was joined to the left side of the main building. I had never seen anything so big or so grand in all my 19 years. This, then, was Croom Court. This vast and magnificent house was to be my new place of employment and my new home. I should have felt excited, astonished, or grateful for the chance to live in such a wonderful place. Instead, as the car pulled up on the crunching gravel, I felt as if I'd gone to prison. Chapter 1. Stamford by Gaslight. I am, it is safe to say, old now, though a more polite way of looking at it would be to say that I have seen a lot of history. I arrived in the middle of one world war and served in uniform in the second. 18 governments of all sorts and political colours and 20 different prime ministers have come and gone. I've lived through the reigns of 2.5 kings, more of which later, and was 10 years old before our present queen was born. In a very few years, if both of us are spared, she will send me a telegram to celebrate my 100th birthday. I am, I suppose, a living piece of history. My body, which has grown old and frail, has registered the passing of ages as a fossil captures and preserves its times for generations to come. But my mind, well, that's still as sharp as ever, still able to conjure up the memories and images of an era, more than one, perhaps, taught to my great-grandchildren in school history lessons. And so I have a story to tell. And you, readers and listeners, why do you look within? Have you seen Downton Abbey or Upstairs Downstairs and come in search of stories from inside the aristocracy? Good, you shall not be disappointed, for there is much I have to tell you of life with the Earl and Countess of Coventry, one of the oldest and greatest families in the land, and of the lives that played...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?